Hi, I'm Adira. Before I continue, please like and subscribe. I met Nathan 3 years ago at a friend's barbecue, and we clicked instantly. He was charming, thoughtful, and made me laugh until my sides hurt. We got married last spring in a small ceremony by the lake, and for a while, everything was perfect. We bought a cute two-bedroom house with a wraparound porch in a quiet neighborhood. I started my own online business selling custom jewelry, and Nathan was killing it at his engineering firm. Then Hurricane Vivian blew into our lives 6 months ago. "It's just temporary, babe," Nathan assured me when he broke the news that his mother needed to move in with us. "Mom's condo got foreclosed, and she needs a place to stay until she gets back on her feet." I wanted to be supportive. I really did. But from day one, Vivian made it clear I wasn't good enough for her precious son. "Nathan always loved my pot roast," she'd say while watching me cook dinner. "He needs a hearty meal after work, not these fancy little dishes you make." Or she'd rearrange our furniture when I was out. I just thought it would look better this way. Nathan always preferred the traditional setup we had in our family home. Nathan would squeeze my hand under the table when Vivian made these comments, but he never confronted her. "She's just adjusting," he'd whisper. "Give her time." Time only made things worse. She'd accidentally spill coffee on my design sketches. She'd answer my phone calls and forget to tell me about them. She'd mention Nathan's ex-girlfriend Chelsea at every opportunity. Such a shame about Chelsea moving to California. She was always so organized, and her family had such good connections. 3 months turned into 6 with no sign of Vivian looking for her own place. Our once peaceful home became a battlefield of passive-aggressive skirmishes. Then came that Tuesday morning. Nathan had an early meeting and kissed me goodbye at 6:30. "I love you," he said at the door. "I'll try to come home early tonight." Vivian appeared in her bathrobe as soon as his car pulled away. I was standing on the porch, waving goodbye. "You know he's only with you because you trapped him," she said, her voice suddenly cold and clear. "He was going to propose to Chelsea before he met you." I turned to face her. "Nathan loves me, Vivian. Maybe it's time you accepted that." Her eyes narrowed. "He feels sorry for you. That's not love." "I think it's time you found your own place," I said firmly. Something shifted in her expression. "This house should have been Nathan's and Chelsea's. You're the intruder here." She stepped toward me, her hands outstretched. I didn't realize what was happening until I felt her palms against my chest and the sudden empty air behind me as I tumbled backward down the porch stairs. I woke up to the sterile smell of hospital disinfectant and the steady beep of monitors. My body felt like one massive bruise. The doctor later told me I had a concussion, a fractured wrist, and multiple contusions. The fall down our 8 porch steps had done a number on me. Nathan sat beside my bed, his face drawn with worry. When he saw me awake, he squeezed my hand. "Thank God you're okay. Mom called me at work. She said you lost your balance and fell down the stairs." I tried to sit up. "She pushed me, Nathan. Your mother deliberately pushed me." His expression changed, a flicker of doubt crossing his face. "Adira, you hit your head pretty hard. Mom said you were leaning against the railing, got dizzy, and fell backward." "That's not what happened." My voice cracked. "She told me I trapped you, that you were going to propose to Chelsea. When I suggested she find her own place, she pushed me." Nathan ran his hand through his hair. "Mom's been stressed lately, but she wouldn't do something like that. Maybe you misremembered because of the concussion." The betrayal stung worse than my injuries. Before I could argue further, the door opened and my neighbor Rachel rushed in. I came as soon as I heard, "Oh my God, Adira, are you okay?" She glanced at Nathan, then back at me. "I saw what happened. I was watering my plants on my front porch." Nathan straightened. "What exactly did you see?" "I saw your mother push Adira down the stairs," Rachel said firmly. "I was calling out when Adira fell. Then your mother looked right at me, went inside and closed the door." Nathan's face paled. "There must be some mistake." "There's no mistake," I said. "Your mother has been undermining me for months, and now she's escalated to physical violence." He stood up, shaking his head. "I need to talk to Mom. Get her side of the story." After he left, Rachel sat on the edge of my bed. "Vivian's already spinning her version to the neighbors. Says you've been dizzy lately, implying you might be pregnant, but having complications." My blood boiled. She's trying to control the narrative. We need proof, Rachel said. Your word against hers isn't enough, especially with her manipulating Nathan. She was right. Without evidence, this would be an endless cycle of denial and gaslighting. Later that afternoon, a tall man with Nathan's eyes entered my room. You must be Adira. I'm Marcus, Nathan's brother. He approached cautiously. How are you feeling? Like I've been pushed down a flight of stairs by my mother-in-law? He didn't smile. Look, I know my mother. She can be difficult. When Nathan called me with her version of events, something felt off. She pushed me, Marcus. Deliberately. He studied me for a long moment. I believe you. Mom's always been possessive of Nathan, and this wouldn't be the first time she's interfered in his relationships. For the first time since waking up in the hospital, I felt a glimmer of hope. I wasn't alone in this fight anymore. 3 days after returning home from the hospital, I sat with Rachel at her kitchen table, my arm still in a cast. You're sure about this? Rachel glanced at the tiny cameras she'd brought over. Absolutely. It's the only way Nathan will see the truth. The plan was simple, but risky. We installed hidden cameras in the living room, kitchen, and hallway, all places Vivian couldn't easily find them. I'd pretend to be more weakened by my injuries than I actually was, giving Vivian the confidence to show her true colors. Remember, Rachel warned, don't provoke her, just let her do the talking. Marcus helped by warning me which days Nathan would be working late. Mom's always been smarter than people give her credit for, he told me. She won't slip up if Nathan might walk in. For the first week, I played my part perfectly. I moved slowly, winced dramatically when reaching for things, and acted intimidated around Vivian. It worked. Her thinly veiled hostility became increasingly overt. Such a shame about your fall, she'd say while deliberately placing items I needed on high shelves. Perhaps Nathan should consider a wife who's less accident-prone. When Nathan was home, she was the picture of concern. Adira, darling, let me help you with that, she'd coo, shooting me knowing smiles when his back was turned. 10 days into our plan, Nathan's sister Teresa stopped by unexpectedly. I hadn't seen her since our wedding, as she lived out of state. Mom's been telling everyone you're clumsy and possibly suffering from vertigo, she whispered, while Vivian was in the bathroom. But I noticed something strange. She keeps positioning herself between you and Nathan, and her story changes slightly each time she tells it. You don't believe her version? Teresa hesitated. Let's just say I've seen Mom's manipulative side before. Even Nathan was beginning to notice discrepancies. Did you really tell Mom you were feeling dizzy that morning? He asked one night. Because I distinctly remember you saying you felt great when I left. I simply shrugged. Maybe ask your mother what she thinks she heard. The decisive moment came 14 days after my accident. Nathan had texted he'd be home late. Vivian entered the kitchen where I was struggling to make tea one-handed. Still playing the victim? She leaned against the doorframe. Nathan's growing tired of it, you know. I'm not playing anything, Vivian. I fell because you pushed me. Her expression hardened. You should have broken more than your wrist. Nathan would be better off without you. Is that why you pushed me? Hoping I'd break my neck? She stepped closer. If you were smart, you'd leave him now, because next time, you might not get up again. Are you threatening me? She smiled coldly. Consider it a promise. One wrong move, and I'll make sure you have a much more serious accident. Hearing her confession and threat captured perfectly on camera, I felt a surge of triumph. Nathan would finally see his mother's true face. I chose Sunday dinner for the confrontation. Marcus and Teresa agreed to come, and Rachel would be dropping by at a prearranged time. Nathan was surprised by the impromptu family gathering, but pleased. This is nice, he said, helping me set the table. Mom's been saying we should do more family dinners. Vivian was in rare form that evening, playing the doting mother and concerned mother-in-law to perfection. She even made her famous pot roast, placing it on the table with a triumphant smile. I thought we could use some comfort food after all the recent unpleasantness. We ate with superficial pleasantries until Rachel arrived with her laptop. Nathan looked confused as she set it up on the sideboard. I think it's time everyone saw what really happened, I said, standing up. and what's been happening since? Nathan frowned. Adira, what's going on? The truth. I nodded to Rachel, who started the first video clear footage of Vivian pushing me down the stairs. The room fell silent. Nathan's face drained of color. There must be some explanation, Vivian stammered. The video is doctored. Is this doctored too? Rachel played the kitchen footage of Vivian threatening me. Next time, you might not get up again. Are you threatening me? Consider it a promise. One wrong move, and I'll make sure you have a much more serious accident. Nathan stood up so abruptly his chair fell backward. Mom, how could you? It's not what it looks like, Vivian pleaded, looking desperately at her children. She's been trying to turn all of you against me? Marcus shook his head. I've suspected something was off since the hospital, the way your story kept changing. And the way you've been talking about Adira to everyone in the family, Teresa added. It fits a pattern, Mom, just like with Dad's second wife. I filed a police report yesterday, I said calmly. With the video evidence, they're charging you with assault. The restraining order was approved this morning. Vivian's face contorted with rage, then crumpled into desperate sobs. I didn't mean to hurt you. Nathan is my son. I was just protecting him. By trying to kill his wife? Nathan's voice was ice cold. Some people say forgiveness heals the soul. Maybe that's true for some. But for me, justice was the only medicine I needed. And that concludes Adira's story of standing up to her toxic mother-in-law. What would you have done in Adira's position? Should she have given Vivian a second chance when she begged for forgiveness? Or was she right to cut her off completely? Some say forgiveness heals the person who was wronged, while others believe toxic people don't deserve second chances after causing deliberate harm. Where do you stand? Share your thoughts in the comments below. If you enjoyed this revenge story, please hit that like button and subscribe for more stories about standing up to toxic people. Your support helps this channel grow, and I'd love to hear what kind of stories you want to hear next.